Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Ah, we thank Him for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins. A good morning to you, my family. And yes, this is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. This is just for you. I'm Sibongile Mofokeng, and I'm with you up until 11 o'clock. Thanks to Vanant and Janine for a great time together with them, enjoying every moment and also learning as we go. Well, we opened the show just for you with the sounds of Joy Celebration and the song His Blood Still Works. His Blood Still Works. It still does. It still washes our sins even now. It still protects. His blood still works even now. Well, my family, right here on Just For You in the second hour, I will be hosting Bishop Kephas Manzini Mkize together with his wife. They are back. Remember last week we left things hanging and we decided that we are going to come back this week and wrap up what we were talking about. We were talking about things that can delay favor in your life. And we spoke about what you say, how important it is to watch what you say. What you say is very important. How you say it, it's very important. And again, in this hour, we're talking chronic disease with Dr. Inga Mgaleli. Now, we are saying knowing your status and stay on treatment. And so we are all about educating family on chronic diseases and addressing any misconceptions or stigma associated with chronic diseases. And the queen is right here online with me. My queen, good morning.
Good morning, Sibongile. How are you?
I am so blessed. Welcome. Hey, I'm so excited. Tina in Pretoria, we've heard that winter is, there's going to be a cold front, but it's not going to hit as hard here in Pretoria. So the temperatures are going to remain.
I'm going to be suffering. I already know we're going to be suffering. The last cold front, we are in the ice age.
We will pray for you. So brace yourself. It's coming this weekend, but Tina in Pretoria, we know we're going to have it soft, but hey.
Hopefully it's the last of the cold front.
Of course.
It seems like the temperatures are starting to...
I know, it has to be. It has to be, Dr. Mgaleli. It has to be. So we're talking chronic diseases, and somebody might be asking themselves a question. What is meant by chronic disease?
So chronic diseases, it's quite simple to think about. It's a disease that is longstanding. It's exactly as the word, suggests. Often these diseases are, permanent in the sense that they cannot be reversed or they cannot be, corrected, but there is treatment. But in medical terms, the definition is any condition that persists for longer than 2 months, then it becomes chronic. So that's essentially what a chronic disease is. Like I said, most of them are incurable in the sense that, once you have it, you have it. But that doesn't mean that you can't live when you have a chronic disease. There is medication, and some of them are curable, and most of them can be controlled.
Okay.
So when we talk about these chronic diseases, the things we're talking about are like hypertension, diabetes, strokes, heart attacks, things like arthritis, and then, of course, HIV. But also cancer, is a type of chronic disease. We know with cancer, it can be curable, but... the term we use once people have cancer that has been cured is that they go into remission. Essentially those are a few examples of chronic diseases.
Okay. But now somebody also mentioned stroke as a chronic disease.
Yeah.
How true is that? Because you're thinking if somebody had a stroke, then it's something that comes and passes. If they get healed and now they have gone through it, so how is it chronic?
So when you think about what a stroke is and how it happens, then you come to understand why it could potentially be a chronic disease.
Okay.
So most So it's either in a blood vessel, mm-hmm. In your brain, that you have an occlusion, mm-hmm. or you have a bleed. But the effects of the stroke are long-lasting, you know. So when you get a scan of the brain, you can see that a person has had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that there's been an area that the blood supply was cut off at some point, or you can see that there had been a bleed in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then the effects of a stroke depend. Some people have very minor strokes,
mm-hmm.
and some people have, you know, massive strokes, and they have, disability as a result of mm-hmm. that stroke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. that is the way in which we can think about a stroke being a chronic condition.
Can it also be caused by an underlying something, like a person has got some other form of disease happening, then it brings stroke because of that underlying, yes. Then we see it as a chronic disease as well.
Yes, that's true. So
okay.
There's a lot of risk factors for stroke. It depends across the age groups. So mm. the risk factors for young people to get stroke, because young people do get stroke, are different from the risk factors for older people. So your hypertension,
mm.
diabetes, mm. smoking, leading a sedentary lifestyle, those are all risk factors for developing stroke in an older population. In a younger population, we're looking at things like HIV is a risk factor for developing stroke,
okay.
cutting disorders are a risk factor, smoking also in younger people are risk factors, the use of recreational drugs, especially your stimulants in young people tend to cause strokes and heart attacks, actually. And then even cancers, some cancers can be a risk factor for developing strokes.
Mm.
So,
Let me ask Dr. Mkalil.
They can also just happen, you know, like without any warning.
Okay.
Essentially.
Let me ask Dr. Mkalil. Okay. I think there are certain chronic diseases that are, I don't know if normal is the word that everybody hears about. You're talking cancer, kidneys, disease, arthritis,
yeah.
HIV. But what about your muscular dystrophies? What about your autisms? Are they also classified as chronic diseases?
So absolutely. They are classified as chronic diseases. Remember, the term chronic just means the condition persists longer than 3 months.
Okay.
So
yes.
in medicine, we have different groups. So we have conditions that fall under musculoskeletal diseases, as you've rightly mentioned. We have conditions that are heart conditions, lung conditions. We've got, you know, blood disorders.
Yes.
We've got skin conditions as well.
Are they not common? Are these ones not common? Are these ones that we're talking about now not so common that they are not much spoken about?
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're not as common. Look, I mean, muscular dystrophies are not as common in our population compared to hypertension and diabetes, but we do see them in numbers that are significant. This is also true for autism, you know. And it's quite interesting when we speak about autism is that it's typically a condition that gets diagnosed in childhood. And it's a psychiatric condition. But what we've noticed or what we're starting to see is that in certain populations, so for example, people of color, black people and colored people and, you know, Indian and so forth, it tends to get diagnosed in adolescent or even in young adults, and that is because of the culture, you know, around how people think about mental illness. So we tend to see late diagnosis of conditions like autism. Of course, it is still a childhood disorder, because when you look at the history, you'll see that
mm-hmm.
there were symptoms in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it's only being diagnosed in adulthood.
Okay.
So it is definitely a type of chronic disorder.
All right. So how crucial is it for people to know their statuses, especially when it comes to chronic diseases? I've heard of somebody saying, if I have hypertension, I don't want to know. If I have diabetes, I don't want to know. How is it important?
Yeah. so funny because at QAD we work with young people, and you know, we offer screening for some of these conditions, and often people will say, I'm 20, you know, I'm 28. Why do I need to check for
hypertension?
My high blood?
Yes.
You know, I'm 28. Why do I need to get my sugar tested?
Yeah.
And the truth is that, you know, younger people are getting hypertension. Younger people are getting these chronic disorders of lifestyle. Younger people are at risk of many other conditions. It's so important just to be aware of your own health so that you can know when you are at risk of developing a disease. So I would say, you know, it's really about being informed about your own health. And prevention is always better than cure. So if you're at risk of developing something, for example, if you have a family history of high blood pressure and say you're obese and you lead a certain lifestyle, then you're at risk of developing certain conditions. But if you intervene early, then it's possible that you don't end up going on to develop those conditions. You know, I've consulted people who, when you first see them, they're at risk of developing hypertension or their blood pressures are borderline, and they implement, you know, changes in their life, and then, you know, they sort of don't go on to develop high blood pressure. This is the same with diabetes. But of course, there are other conditions that you can't prevent, like your cancers and, you know, but although there are vaccines for certain types of cancers that prevent, you know, that reduce your risk of developing those cancers. But in the greater scheme of things, you know, those sort of conditions we can't really necessarily prevent. And autoimmune conditions we also can't prevent. So your lupuses.
Yes.
Your some of the types of arthritis, like rheumatoid arthritis, those sorts of conditions, you know, we can't prevent necessarily.
Yeah. Now, how do we get tested? Just thinking of the young people, especially that you spoke about just now, and people who say, I don't want to know, but you're encouraging that we should go get tested and know our statuses. So should we be doing the yearly checkups? Then everything will be checked there, or how do we do that? I mean, yes, with cancer, women are advised, especially breast cancer, on how they can test and all that. But how do we do an overall? Because I think there are many of these.
Yeah, so I think the important thing is to understand this idea of screening, which is, and sometimes it can, sometimes screening can be a test, but it isn't always a test. But what it does is it gives us an understanding of someone's risk profile. Hello, can you still hear me?
Yeah, we're listening.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was just radio silence, so I'm not sure.
No, we are listening.
So this idea of screening is about giving us an understanding of someone's risk profile. Like I've said, some types of screening are tests. So when you screen for high blood pressure, we are actually doing something. We are testing for something. When we screen for diabetes, we ask questions and then we check. We then do a test. We then perform a blood sugar test to see if, okay, in this person that has a family history, has been exhibiting symptoms, has screened positively for her diabetes, now I'm going to perform a test. So what I'm trying to say is not everyone who gets screened necessarily will get a test. The screening gives us an idea of who's at risk. Mm-hmm. And then based on that, we can make a decision about whether or not a test is needed.
Okay.
So this just goes to say, you know, if you have limited resources, for some people it's not possible to go for a health checkup and get every single test under the sun. It's just not feasible, you know, especially if you don't have access to medical aid. And so that's why I'm emphasizing this idea, you know, of screening. I think it is important to get the health checkup, get screened, and then potentially get tested. But I think, you know, if you come from a family that has a, you know, has an exposure to certain types of condition, like if in your family there's cancer, in your family there's high blood pressure, in your family there's diabetes, you know, in your family there's autoimmune conditions, then definitely as a person, then you should at least, you know, be getting screened for those conditions.
Okay. All right. So staying on treatment is vital, as you say, but it can be challenging. There are so many people that I've met who are on ARVs. They are tired of taking ARVs. I know people with hypertension. They are taking medication daily, some even twice. And they're on diabetes. They have to check themselves, the blood levels, the glucose levels on their blood, and they have to take the medication. So what tips do you have for those who might struggle with adherence to their treatment plan?
Yeah, so living with a chronic condition, as you so rightly said, it's difficult. You know, it's taking medication every day. And like you said, sometimes it's more than one medication. And sometimes you're taking more
for
more than one condition.
I've heard with lupus, they say they call it a cocktail. Like we're taking a cocktail of medicine.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly. A lot of autoimmune conditions. And so it's a full burden, you know, it causes fatigue in people. You're taking, and you know, you might have lupus and then you might have complications of lupus. Mm. You're not only taking medication for the condition that you have, now you also have to take medication to treat complications. So it's very difficult to live with a chronic condition. And sometimes, often, a lot of people have more than one chronic condition. They are on medication for more than one condition. And so it creates this pull burden and it makes people feel like, oh, you know, I'm taking so many pills, I don't want to. And then, you know, they sort of stop taking the medication. You know, other conditions also require, you know, a lot of support. Like, you don't want to feel isolating. You don't want to feel stigmatized for being on certain types of medication. So, for example, ARVs. Even, you know, even TB, because when you have TB, the treatment is for 6 months. And you know, that's a treatable chronic condition. But people have, you know, there's stigma still even with having a condition like TB. Mm. And it makes it difficult for people to be able to adhere to their medication because you're at home and people are seeing you taking these tablets and they're like, why are you taking those tablets? Every single day they're taking tablets, what's going on? They're asking you a lot of questions. And so that can sometimes cause people to just stop taking their medication. But to answer the question that you asked about, you know, what tips or what advice do I have for people? So I would say the biggest thing is, you know, support, is to have support. Mm. So it helps when someone knows about your chronic condition, someone that you trust knows about your chronic condition, because then you're not alone in navigating the disease that you have. You know, you have support. When it's difficult for you to take your tablets, you have someone to encourage you. When you forget to take your tablets, you have someone who's reminding you.
Yeah.
It's not only just about taking medication, it's also about staying healthy. So looking after your overall health and, you know, stop smoking, alcohol consumption, watching what you eat, exercising if you can. It's not always possible for people living with chronic conditions to do all these things. But, you know, when they're able to, we really, really encourage, you know, just an overall healthy lifestyle.
All right.
And then the third thing is regular checkups, you know, so going to check that you're on track, you're not getting worse, getting checked for complications, getting checked for other conditions as well.
All right. So there's something that we normally do. It's not normal. It's not good. But when we do, when we feel better, because we go to the doctor feeling the worst ever, and then we got treated and then we are given medication. So whenever a person feels a little bit better, even with flu, we do that even with flu, you stop taking your medication. What are the repercussions of that?
Yes, I always say to people, this, you know, this usually tends to come up with people who live with epilepsy. I remember we've spoken about epilepsy before.
Mm.
So they stop having seizures and then they stop taking the medication. And I usually say to people that you feel better and you aren't experiencing the symptoms of whatever condition that you are diagnosed with because you're on medication. So if you stop taking that medication or you stop doing whatever has been, you know, decided upon with your healthcare provider, then your symptoms will reemerge. You know, your symptoms will reemerge. So it is a challenge that people do stop taking their medication when they feel better. But the important thing to understand is that, you know, the reason why you're feeling better, your symptoms are under control, is because of the medication. So, you know, sort of really need to encourage to not stop taking that medication when you start to feel better, or you know, your symptoms disappear or you've regained your function. Mm. It's to continue taking the medication so you can continue to be in that state.
All right. Here is a family member who says, Spongile, thank you for the topic with Dr. Mkaleli. Please ask, my brother is taking ARVs with alcohol. He is addicted to alcohol. I don't know how to help him stop.
Yeah, so yeah, that one is very difficult to deal with. As like I said, you know, living with a chronic condition is hard, and people have different coping mechanisms. And so, you know, for him, I'm not saying that's the case, but it could be, you know, that alcohol is what he turns to deal with whatever it is that he's going through. So I think the advice I would give is to say, you know, have a sit down with him. Having an addiction is also something that's very difficult to deal with and to overcome. You know, when you speak to AA groups, they say people never overcome their addictions. They live with addiction for life. They just learn to live with the addiction. So it just goes to show how difficult it is to navigate. But there are, you know, options for assisting people to, you know, live with their addictions. We do have a lot of information on our social media pages. There are, you know, substance assist groups, especially for young people. You can check there, you know, sort of where you can go to get assistance with substance abuse.
So, Dr. Mkaleli, just for an inquisitive mind, so if a person would take their medication with alcohol, what would happen? Would the medication stop working? What happens?
So it depends. It depends on what medication it is.
Okay.
So for ARVs, we don't advise it because it does disrupt, it does affect how the medication works. But even with ARVs, it's not all types of ARVs. It depends what ARVs the person is on.
Okay.
But this is also true for other medications. So usually with antibiotics, you know, when your doctor puts you on antibiotics, they tell you, you know, you can't drink when you're on this antibiotic course. And that's because the alcohol will affect how the medication works, essentially. And it just depends. You know, it could be how it's digested. It could be how it gets into your blood. And so we will give that advice. But you need to look at the label of whatever medication you're taking and also discuss with your healthcare provider.
Okay.
This is true for other medications as well. So there's medications that should not mix. That's why when you're seeing your healthcare provider, it's important to give them a full history of whatever you're taking so that if they need to prescribe something, they don't prescribe something that will react with something that you're already on.
Oh, yes, yes.
So it's not just about alcohol. It's about other substances. It's about other medication and other substances as well. You need to know.
I'd like to remain anonymous. I am with lupus and I have steroids. Should a person take steroids for life? Is it okay?
Yeah, so autoimmune condition, if I heard you correctly, she said lupus.
Yeah.
Okay, so a lot of the autoimmune conditions we do treat with quite
steroids,
anti-inflammatory. And the steroid is a type of anti-inflammatory, actually, in very simple terms. So, and you are going to be on it for life because, you know, that is one of the core medications when we treat autoimmune conditions. But it's about finding a balance between the dose, the right dose that works for you without giving you side effects. Mm. And that's the balance.
Oh, so
we
so
try
if
and find with steroids. Because the problem with being on steroids for long term, remember it's an anti-inflammatory, it suppresses your immune system. It works by suppressing your immune system. And it also has other, you know, it also has other quite side effects that can be serious. So that's what I'm saying, you know, with being on steroids for the rest of your life, it's about finding the right dose that works to control your symptoms without giving you side effects.
Sure, I'm reminded of somebody as you're responding to a family member. I'm reminded of somebody that I know that we buried, Dr. Mgaleli. She was diagnosed with lupus, and she was on steroids as well. And I remember the steroids started eating up the cartilage in her body. She couldn't take it because she had to be on crutches now. So in your understanding, if something like that happens, and I think everybody, when you hear of steroids, like the family member, you ask yourself what would be the side effects, because they're scary side effects that we learn about steroids. So in that case, if somebody has, for example, their cartilage being eaten, or I don't know if it's eating is the right word, but getting affected because of the steroids, is it because of the dosage? Does it mean the dosage was wrong?
It doesn't necessarily mean that the dosage was wrong. It could mean that, you know, that it just could mean that that person could not tolerate the steroids, or you know, the dose for that person, whatever dose that they're getting, is causing them to have side effects. So when a dose of a medication is causing side effects, we have two options. It's either we taper down the dose to see if the side effects reverse or the side effects reduce, or we have to stop that medication and try an alternative medication. So side effects with medication can be because of the active ingredient, which is like the actual steroid, it would be the actual steroid. Okay. But with medication, it can, you know, I want to give an example. I don't know how I can explain it. It's like when you make, it's like a sandwich, like pills and medication are like a sandwich. Mm. So you have your ham, like, which is your main, like, the sandwich is about the ham. But then you also have bread, and you also have lettuce, and you also have cheese. And you need all of the, you need the bread and the lettuce and the cheese together with the ham in order for that pill to work. Yeah? But we know that the thing that is actually going to work is the ham. So that's true for medication as well. So sometimes people react to the ham, like the active ingredient, the steroid, or people, you know, react to the things that the steroids are coupled with in order for it to be able to work, in order for you to be able to drink it. So then another person might react to the bread, another person might react to the cheese. So it depends what your side effects are. Mm-hmm. And we usually know, you know, what sort of side effects to expect with certain types of medication.
Okay.
And like I said, once that happens, then our options are to either come down on the dose to see if it's a dose problem or if it's a whole, it's not going to make a difference what dose you're on. Mm. And so those are our options when it comes to steroids and other medication for that matter.
Mm. One of the myths that are there is that once one is diagnosed with a chronic disease, it means they are one step into the grave. They are dying. What is your...
So that's not true. That's not true at all. With every condition, you know, there's a scale of severity. You can be on the mild side of the scale, or you can be on the severe spectrum of the scale. So every time you get diagnosed with something, you get prognosticated. So we tell you, you know, we tell you what to expect, and we tell you the severity of whatever you're experiencing. This happens with flu, you know, even. When you go see a doctor, you go to the clinic, and they say, you tell them you have flu, and they see you then, and they say, okay, you have flu.
Mm.
They start to make a decision about, okay, the flu that you have, I can prescribe medication for you, you can go home. Yesterday, I was in a meeting, we were discussing the number of people who are hospitalized because they had severe form of flu. So you can have that, where you have such a severe form of flu that you need to be hospitalized, and you can experience complications from that as well. Mm. So the point I'm trying to make is, you know, with every chronic condition, any condition actually, after the diagnosis has been made, then we need to prognosticate and say, okay, this is mild hypertension, this is mild diabetes, this is mild lupus, versus, oh, this is severe lupus. you're already having complications. You have severe renal failure. You know, you are experiencing other complications, and we have measures that guide us on how we make these decisions. Right. If you have a mild form of a disease, then, you know, you are likely to still live a long, good life. Mm. But if you have a severe form of a disease, then, you know, we have to be honest about what that means. And sometimes it does mean that, you know, it's impeding death. There's nothing that we can do. Mm-hmm. But it's not always the case. It just depends on the severity.
All right. So, in closure, what is your final message? What would you like to share to us about knowing our statuses and even staying on treatment?
Yeah, so I think my closing remarks are, you know, the best position you'll ever be in as a person is a position of awareness. You know, when it comes to your health and other things, that's just my philosophy in life. So when you know what's going on in your body, when you know what's going on in your mind, when you know what's going on with how you feel, that's the best position you'll ever be in. And so I just would really like to encourage everyone to, you know, look after themselves, to check, you know, get their health checkups, go to your clinic, go to your doctor, go to your GP, get checked out, you know, get screened, get tested if you need to get tested, especially if, you know, you have risk factors for certain types of conditions.
Okay.
And then I also want to say that a chronic disease, you know, it's still possible to live a long and full life when you have a chronic disease.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Those are my closing remarks.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mkaleli. How do we get a hold of the Kiredi doctors, or if you would like to talk to somebody there from Kiredi, how do we do that?
So we are active on all the social media platforms, Facebook, X, Instagram. We're also on TikTok. And you just need to search at Kiredi SA. And you can also check our website for lots and lots and lots of information. Mm-hmm. And that's www.kiredi.co.za. And you can also chat to us on WhatsApp on 060-019-0000. And, of course, you can come to our mobile clinics across the country.
All right. Thank you so much for talking to us again. Have a beautiful one. And yeah, this weekend, make sure you're warm. Next week, we need your voice.
I'm going to. Oh, and I've gotten to you like 4 times already.
You high, nay. Not again. Thank you so much, Dr. Mkaleli. Have a blessed one.
Thank you so much.
Bye. And family, do remember that you can chat to one of the doctors of Kiredi 24/7 on WhatsApp by saying hi to 060-019-0000. And our regular live conversations with our young doctors are hosted, and you can reach out to them with your thoughts, questions or concerns on social media platforms, and their media handles are at Kiredi SA, KEREADYSA on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Speak to a young doctor and ask questions by sending hi to WhatsApp number 060-019-0000.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. A companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.